where you find drugs in somebody's pocket. Well, it's not their drugs. They're holding it for somebody else. Well, it's the legality of it is not about who owns it. It's about who possesses it at the time. Well, the tenant legally possesses the property, and the tenant can legally say, you cannot come in to my house, landlord. I know you owned it, but you cannot come into my property. And landlords get kind of bent about that. But again, that's where a good written document that outlines when the landlord can come in. Of course, under state law, they can come in for emergency repairs or any bona fide emergency. But just to willy-nilly come in, we have to make an appointment. They have to be there at that certain time. And the tenant has a right to, and this is generally what's in those agreements, the tenant has a right to cancel the appointment at any time in writing or whatever means they say. So that also protects that landlord's right to go in and inspect the property. And if they do not allow inspection of the property, that's another violation of the lease agreement. Okay, rent may be current and everything else, but, and that's what people don't understand. Well, my rent's current. Yeah, but you violated lease agreement. You had dogs, or you didn't let the landlord inspect the property. That's all you did. It doesn't matter whether your rent's current or not. You still violated the lease agreement, and you're being evicted.
We have one guy that he actually has a bunch of houses that we manage for him, mm-hmm. and he keeps his house perfect. I mean, he really does. If anything goes wrong, he wants it fixed. One thing he put in there that we put in for him was he changes out the air filters every other month. Mm-hmm. And the reason he does that is where he can inspect the property.
Yes.
And we have that in the lease written that he has, but he has to make an appointment. Mm-hmm. But he physically goes to his houses and changes out the air filters. But the real reason is where he can inspect the property, because he wants his properties to be pristine.
Right. Everybody wants their properties to be taken care of. They don't want anybody in there tearing down stuff, writing on the walls, making unnecessary holes in the walls, making any changes or things like that to the property that they own.
And we learned a lesson the hard way. You said make any changes. We've had people say, can we paint this room? And I said, yes. Well, we learned real quick, what color are you going to paint that room? When you go in, it's bright red or black. Or I said, yeah, so making changes is a big deal too.
Right. Now, I've heard those horror stories about the paint. You walk in and go, oh my goodness, what were they thinking? And yeah, so making changes or anything like that. So again, having that good, valid lease agreement written, and you can prove violations of it, you can actually get a renter out that's causing you issues. But if it's just an oral lease agreement, it's like, well, we didn't agree to that. It's a he said, she said. So
no oral agreements are good.
Yes.
You brought up the deal drugs earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What if you have a problem that somebody maybe doing drugs is renting one of your houses?
Okay. Well, a lot of these lease agreements will have a health and safety clause where you can't do illegal activity, you can't sell drugs, you can't do things like that. I've seen people get evicted for excessive police calls at the property, even though they're rent was current. The landlord would walk in with a stack of police reports and say, police are out there almost every single night. All the neighbors and everybody else are scared of it. And that's part of our lease agreement is health and safety. And we can't have that. And they get evicted for it. So that would cover your drugs or any illegal activity.
Do you know offhand, our promulgated lease agreements? I'm sure you've seen plenty of them. Mm-hmm. I don't look at them enough to know, but does it have? I don't think it has that in there.
Some do and some have to add them.
That's something to be added.
Something to be added. And here's another thing that's not in a lease, and it's also not in law. Well, it's not in law. It should be in a lease. Not in the law. It's about abandonment. And the landlord came, well, they abandon the property and start taking it over, and the tenant shows back up and says, no, I'm still living here. And there's no definition in law of what abandonment is. Now, I know that you mentioned Jim Slaughter. I know Jim Slaughter has in his lease agreements a paragraph that talks about and defines what abandonment is. And they post notice that we consider this abandoned. You need to contact us, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's in the lease agreement, so it's binding. But as far as the law, you can't just go in and say this place is abandoned unless you have it in that valid lease agreement.
What would make you think it's abandoned? I mean, I would think if nobody's there.
Say the utilities are shut off or nobody's there or looks like it's half lived in or things like that. People will think nobody's been there. But we've had places like that where where the landlord shows up and starts moving stuff out, and then the tenant shows back up and says, what are you doing?
But if the utilities were cut off at one of my properties, I wouldn't want somebody in there.
Right. You wouldn't want anybody in there. Utilities cut off a property, and that's one thing here in the city of San Angelo. Nobody's supposed to dwell on that property. You can call the fire marshal's office for unsafe buildings because they're supposed to have full utilities and everything else in there. The utilities are cut off. And we see this a lot, too, where they're running an extension cord from one house or to another, or they sneak over to somebody else's electrical box, and they'll plug a wire in and run it two houses down under the bushes, and they're stealing electricity, which is a felony.
I didn't know that, but that's... I'll tell you what I've learned over the years, too, and I know you know this better than I do, but a lot of the people that abuse the rental system are professionals at it. They know the law better than I do, or most. I mean, they know every trick in the book to get to stay there for a long time for free.
Exactly. And a lot of the ones we see, I guess you'll call them serial renters, they know that they can pay first months and last months, how long they can ride it before the eviction process comes through. And there are some... those landlords that don't, they treat it as a charity. They'll listen to every sob story that is and let it go off till here you're out 6, 8, 9 months without rent. And then find out, well, that's all they're doing. They're just pulling on the heartstrings. And there are others that are just the straight up business. But again, that's where you vet your tenants because, you know, they have the tenant tracker things. They have other things like that that report tenants as that, you know, have left somebody stranded and, you know, they don't rent to them. So if you don't vet your tenants, yeah, there are groups like that here around town that they're just going from place to place to place and taking advantage of these landlords that either have soft heartstrings or they know exactly what they can get away with.
Well, we gave you the horror stories, but I am going to tell you this. There's one good thing that I can brag on in San Angelo, Texas, is our constables, all of them. Randy, you got some good friends that are constables that you know, do it. I've had to call on Randy a few times, and he's helped me. So they go take care of it. I mean, you physically don't have to go there. Randy goes, one of the constables goes and takes care of it and fixes it. Eddie Howard, one of our judges, mm-hmm. one of my good friends, So it's not all horrible. There's some good things, and we have some good people to help you if that's what you want to do.
Right. Now, I mean, anytime you have questions, you can call the constables, you can call the Justice of the Peace, anytime you have landlord-tenant issues. They're all good. They're all available to help you. And, you know, we work closely also with the San Angelo Police Department. They call us on occasion because they'll have a landlord-tenant issue where they get called out on a dispute. And we try to help, you know, that get resolved where they can go take care of it in the proper place. Now, if we can't take care of it right then and there, we can kind of explain what the law is and how it proceeds. We can't give them legal advice, but we can say this is how the procedure works in this, but we can't fix it. You're going to have to fix it.
So are you okay with people calling you?
Oh, absolutely.
How do they get a hold of you?
My office number is 325-659-6408. 325-659-6408. They can also go online to the county website and email me as well. So that's too long to say, but no. Yeah.
But for years, Randy's been a huge asset to my firm, and I know a lot of the real estate people here in town and all the landlords. And he's very, very knowledgeable. So I encourage you, if you do have a situation, to take him up on that and call him or email him, and he'll answer your questions. Randy, we're out of time. But, man, as always, I appreciate it. And, folks, I'm going to archive this segment. So if you go to sallison.com, you can replay all this and get the information that Randy's given us today. Take care.